trying to hear it on the other thing. You're like, we're back!
I remember in Revelations that we're going to have 75-pound... Remember him trying to have you get something in your mind that was 70 pounds?
Yeah, I had no idea what that was.
And Carolyn says, a bag of potatoes.
Yeah, that's great. You start mentioning physical reality, I'm lost. I'm out to sea. I have no experience of physical reality. None of the normal parameters.
Person. The sea motif keeps coming back. I do have to mention from the Ion thing, the Loch Ness thing. Keep in mind, Crowley actually had a house on Loch Ness. It was called Boldskin House. They actually practiced what's called the Abramelin approach. Evoked all kinds of demons and sea creatures and crazy, just crazy stuff that Bob would do.
I did it.
Anyway,
I've done that. Responding. Hey, buddy, I'm responding. You got to listen. As you're ranting, I'm responding. I did not know that Crowley did that. That's interesting. Crowley could take, he might have manifested the monster, Loch Ness Monster.
That was my point. Yeah, go. One more time. He had a house on Loch Ness called Boleskin House. They
practice stopping. See? Very good. You stopped. See? That's what you do.
I'm trainable. Okay.
As soon as you hear a sound, you stop. No matter if you finish your sentence or not. People are, you want response. So if they respond, we don't know why they respond. You just listen for the response. If you want to engage in tactile feeling is believing, you got to know that. That's how you do conversations today. Just, the point is not to finish. You don't have to finish your sentence. Your sentence can't finish. No point can be made. You can make a temporary point, but it doesn't matter if it gets interrupted. This is the art of being the best radio show host forever. And when you understand that point.
Yeah, I probably agree with that, man.
Good, you stopped right there. Okay, Lynn.
The now, right?
Let's go to your point that you we didn't want to talk. Just at the last break. Okay, you were saying the now, yeah.
And I put down a little pencil, I've got my little notebook here. I remember I had a thought today because you talked about the Mayans, so they said it was over. And I remember, so then I thought, well, why now at this point? Why hasn't this occurred earlier? But then I'm answering my own question because there's no such thing as time.
Yeah, but no, but here's what I did. For years I thought about that. And here's what's interesting. Here are the signs that we were coming to a dramatic point. Humans had extended their bodies to completion. When we extended television, when we extend our central nervous system, that was a pretty amazing thing because all the other technologies had extended the earlier, simpler senses, the eye, the ear. But when we extended central nervous system, we're starting to get near a completion. And then when you look at the satellite as an extension of the whole planet, that's when you knew something had come to a finish point. It didn't matter how many thousands, billions of years it took, we finally got to the point where the world was showing us a new environment, and it was actually an ending of the extending of our body parts. So that's the sign that Joyce and McLuhan saw.
That's awesome. It's interesting because I'm putting up my PowerPoint on the nervous system right now with the psoas muscle. Huh, thanks. This is cool.
Well, wait a minute. You're going into some content that you're looking at. It may not be what I'm saying. You're looking at something about the central nervous system?
Well, yeah, with the central nervous system and the autonomic with the psoas muscle, which is the most powerful muscle of the body, but it's also probably a completion. I have not fully completed the ending of it, but it has something to do with what you just said.
What, that muscle completes something? Then you want to know what extended that muscle. What technology extends that muscle?
Well, I don't know.
None. Probably machines, 19th century. Pulleys and levers. That's all the kinetic technology.
It's interesting that you just said the pulley word because that's in with the hip structure, with the back muscles. I won't go into the technical terms, but
but that's the kinetic. All those kinetic movements or connecting things was the extensions of the 19th century in factories. the pulleys and the levers were extensions of our muscles and skeletal structure. You get that? That's why it was America is a kinetic society. That it was the main creator of those technologies, those extensions. But when we got an extension of our central nervous system, no culture could claim that other than maybe the tactile Zen Buddhist philosophy of China or the Thailanders. Their philosophy was the dance of thought among words. The East was way more tactile. It had become less literate. It didn't get affected by the phonetic alphabet. So the West was weak once we got into the TV world. That's why Spengler wrote in the 20s, The Decline and Fall of the West. It was just that our visual bias was not extended, was not dominant as an extension. The tactility had been extended. And non-literate cultures, they're more tactile than the West. So that's why everybody went East, West, and South, and pagan and native, you know, since the 50s. But then the digital overlay is something new. The digital overlay is technologies extending themselves, not their senses.
So that would be the... Go ahead.
What?
Oh, no, go ahead. Keep going.
So you see, the satellite completes what we call analog media extensions. And then the last 30 years, we've seen no extending of our bodies or inner or outer faculties. We've seen the machines extending themselves. And that's virtual reality. That's where humans start feeling disconnected. This is not extending me. I don't know what it's for here. Everybody's on the computer. I got to go on the computer, you know. It doesn't seem to be connected to people. And that created a lot of alienation in the last 30, 40 years. Well, let's say 30 years. Now we're into a new zone with ION.
Right.
A new extension of non-physical. Neither the physical of the body nor the physical of the machine. Third phase, extension of the non-physical and its products. That's what RNA drops are. I had to say to Jeff, you know, what?
Yeah, no, this is great. I get it.
Yeah, so I had to say to Jeff today, the microscope guys are checking out the RNA drops all over the world, and they see nothing. And then Ayn says, well, little man can't see non-physical. So... I don't know what I said to him. Next slide. So we are there's a non-physical element in the drops, and it comes from ION. That's what I was trying to tell him. And I don't care if that sounds nutty. It isn't nutty in the long run. It's the only way to explain it.
I get it.
Well, you guys are discussing you guys are busy discussing the manufacture of it, and that other people will try to manufacture them. And what they'll find is that they're missing a primary ingredient, which is ION.
Yeah, they'll find, I don't, it'll be interesting, it'll be nice to hear how, what they come up with. But Jeff did say, is anybody trying to replicate that? Did any of you guys hear the interview? You hear that part? That's how we get into that part of the conversation. He said, is anybody replicating it? And I said, well, there are people trying to see what it is, and then maybe if they could see something, they could take that and replicate it. But they can't see anything. So I assume there can be no replication. They could follow the patent and try it, but we have ION here saying, hey, Ginny, relax on the advertising. We've got that. They're even taking over the advertising. They're taking over the fact that our show happened the way it did tonight, you know, the one with Jeff Renz. It was good to have Lynn on there and Ginny, and other things that are happening. ION's doing it.
Right.
So how could... So someone else could start to make it, and if Ayn agreed to help them, then it would happen.
Sure.
So, Bob, what you're saying is that the eye cell itself cannot be seen under a microscope.
We can see it, and Carolyn was going to show some things at the conference, and she has to judge tonight whether the people at the factory got the right kind of pictures. So, I don't know if what Carolyn will decide, but we are hoping to show things tonight, or this weekend. Because we're not at the factory. So the factory people take our instructions, they do it, and they're human, they might not get it right, or they do this or that, or they don't know what they're looking for, who knows. Maybe ION doesn't want it revealed yet, but we were encouraged by ION to attempt to show something this weekend.
Well, if you do get images, can you post them on dupes?
I guess, yeah, if it's shown publicly, it doesn't matter, yeah.
Yeah.
The people who work at the lab have seen the eye cell. They have seen it under the microscope. They've seen something odd. Don't know what their slides are capturing, but they've definitely seen things that, just as normal humans, you know, they didn't expect to see, and they don't know what it is, but something different is in there.
Have they described what they have seen?
Yes, they've described it, and Ion has verified that we've run it several times, verified yes or no whether what they saw was it, and some of the times Ion says yes, they did see the eye cell.
So what was it that they described?
What was it?
Yeah, when they described it, tell us what they described.
I think it was like lights. I'm not even sure. A little crystalline lights kind of thing.
That makes sense. Uh-huh.
I see it all the time.
Where do you see it?
In my, well, I'm not even going to say that. I don't even know why Ion says it, but in my eyes.
You mean when you close your eyes?
No, I don't have to close my eyes.
I don't either. I know what you're seeing, Brian.
Well, that's Bush the Electron. We all see Bush the Electron. I call Bush the Electron. But maybe. It was Akito brought this up with the worms. And Ion said there was something going on. Akito was seeing it, but everybody got all mixed up. ASA Scott fucked it up, and I don't know what Akito did. And then later it was not what Akito was seeing, but it was said. Do you remember that on Tailgate at one point, Brian, when Ion agreed that Akito was seeing it or something? Or maybe
here's a very interesting thing, Bob. Akito was talking about that. I think this was posted on, might have been posted on, I don't know where it was at, but Ion told Akito what that would turn into. And when I think Akito posted a picture of what it would be. When I first seen the picture, it didn't mean anything to me. It didn't mean anything. In fact, I thought it was, I don't know, silliness, whatever.
Yeah.
But as I've kept going and I think back on what was said, it's actually, it kind of blows me away now. It's actually very profound what it will turn into. It actually...
You're saying you see what Akito presented.
I see... I know what Akito's talking about because I've seen it for a long, long time. But I haven't gotten to what I... See, Ion says it will turn into something else, and he said this is what it will look like. And when I seen a picture of it, I'm like, okay, whatever. But I haven't gotten to what Ion says it will turn into. But for me now, that it makes sense. It's very profound. And in fact, Ion said it in he says it all the time, but he said in the clip you just played, he always uses this term, your lying eyes. And
yeah.
I used to always, what the fuck does that mean? My lying, what? Okay. Could somebody develop what that is, your lying eyes? So every, you know, in other words, this cliche term, what you see is not real, and what is real you can't see is that. So, but I think it's more than what your lying eyes see, because I think what it is, the eyes have not, and actually Ion says this, the RNA drops affect the eyes last, and I think the eyes have not been affected in a way that we're not even seeing the way that we will see in the perfect state.
Right. There's on the, go ahead.
Did you see these, this anomaly, Brian, before RNA drops or after?
Yeah, I've seen it before.
But
it's the same thing about the patches. I've seen it before, but it was very, I don't know, it was rare and it didn't happen very often. But since the drops, especially now, it's almost it's not constant, but literally every few minutes, I mean, I see what I used to see maybe once a month or something. Once every couple of months, now I see it's almost constant.
That's interesting. There's on the chat room, Starhopper says, if the powers of be are so powerful, why would they give a shit whether we came into our power? We'd all be just fine creating and having fun. I don't know if that's directed to us. It's in among other posts, but he could be responding to a previous show.
Well, who are the powers that be?
Right. If the powers that be are so powerful, nobody knows what they are. All the kids know their secrets, so they like the Kiki style of ranting about the Freemasonic this, Freemasonic that. They take for granted some secret powers, which is just knowing that the invisible acoustic space is taken over. And then when they start imagining the harp and all that, that's tactility coming in, feeling, and the manipulation of feeling. They're just layering off the onions. Bill says that came in hour two. Okay, so that's part of it. That's directed at us.
Can you read that again, please?
If the powers of be are so powerful, why would they give a shit whether we came into our power? We'd all be just fine. We'd all be just fine creating and having fun. I think what the issue is, it's the authority versus power. So when they say the powers of be are so powerful, they inflict their authority mechanism on people. But the kind of power he's saying is not authoritative. And it's real power, and yes, why would... So he's misusing the word powerful for the first part. Because if they're not authoritative, they wouldn't give a shit. Well, who thinks they do give a shit? Well, millions who listen to those crackpot videos on YouTube with guys ranting on the invisible powers, all right? They believe that
the
authority is still in charge. What?
It's the other way around. With the conspiracy theory world, it's not power. It is authority. And authority does give a shit. Authority wants to keep you from it at all costs. The last thing that authority wants is for you to come into your place of power.
Right.
And that's the conflict today.
And the authorities are losing.
Exactly.
If you want to see a revolution, you go on the porn sites. Everybody and his neighbor there is fucking away and making poetry out of it. Like even James Joyce, he said to me through the Ion a while ago, he said, you know, he got censored. His book got censored. He says what goes on today is like he didn't do anything. He was kindergarten compared to what today. It's not even measurable what goes on. You know what I mean? There's no human context for it.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about, Bob. What are you even talking about?
I'm talking about the amount of people photographing themselves, putting it out there, and with every kind of variation, and not being self-conscious. They have all kinds of fake interview scenes or real interview scenes, and these people. This woman is getting in, and she says, well, you know, I was at work today, I got bored, so I thought, well, I'd like to get eaten out. So I thought I'd drop down and see if you got anybody available. Yeah, we got Billy right here. Okay. She takes her clothes off, and Billy eats her out, you know? This is all day where an average person works for the government, works for downtown L.A., knows where to go to get beefed off, to get, what's key case, to have her train run over. Whatever that phrase he had. And now there's millions of people doing this. And it's all available on the sites.
Wow.
And okay, now that's one aspect. But what about the aspect of, the tattoos and the piercings and all this stuff that's gone wild and rampant, too? It's almost, I don't know if it's different but the same where... You know, they just don't care. They get tattooed.
Right.
They get.
Yeah, and I took care of a guy in the ER years ago who had 55 of them in his penis, on all tattooed or pierced in his penis.
Right.
Wow.
So I had not been to a beach in a long time living in New York City, maybe 10 years. So I didn't see. So I come here, and there's all these suburban or nice people, nice wives and husbands with their little three-year-olds, walking around, you know, obviously manicured properly, no bohemian whack jobs. Everybody had a tattoo on them. I was amazed in 2008 seeing all these bodies with tattoos. I'd never seen it. I didn't know respectable people were doing it. And now it's ridiculous. You get respectable people with their whole left side tattooed up to the max. It's ridiculous. Like, what the heck is forcing them to tattoo themselves?
Yeah, I'm upset too. It's like, I don't know, it seemed like, I don't know, 10 years ago, every now and then you'd see one or two people with tattoos.
Yeah.
Now it's the opposite. Now you got to kind of look for people that don't have tattoos.
Right.
Of course.
Yeah, and no, Brian, I heard about this, I think it's happening. A lot of the little teenage girls, 15, they're with their parents. Parents are all tattooed. But the teenage girl will have a little, small little tattoo somewhere in the body. That's a fake one. They buy them. They put the fake ones on just to be part of the family. They got to put a tattoo on.
they actually make these. They make these sleeves. They're kind of like a nylon, like a pantyhose sleeve, but they're. I don't know. They got designs all over them, and when you put the sleeve like on your arm, it looks like a tattoo, or it looks like you have your whole arm sleeved in tattoos, but it's just a pantyhose thing with designs all over it. It makes you look like your body's tattooed when you put the stuff on.
Yeah, you got to. It's part of that. You have to look like you're tattooed. They're the majority rules now. So they have this transparent flesh-colored stuff, so it looks like you have a tattoo. Now, McLuhan, here's what my theory was back in the 90s. McLuhan talked about how television tattooed the brain. By extending the central nervous system, you tattooed, use the word tattoo all the way through it. So when the tattoos started showing up, I said, okay, the TV body, the kids showed that they had a TV body by putting tattoos on. But they also started to know they had a chip body. And how do they show they had a chip body? They put a stud in their nose or in their belly button or in their dick or something. The stud is the chip body, and the tattoo is the TV body. And so people show it symbolically.
So it's like, okay, so we're making all these extensions of the body. And then we're...
That's finished, Brian. That stop at the satellite, you know, the television extended...
I know, but I'm just finishing what our adding to what you were saying is that okay, we got the extensions of the body, the TV, the chip body. Okay, and now we're running around and we're engaging or experiencing the extensions. So therefore, on the chemical body, we're placing, I don't know, whether it be tattoos or studs, saying yeah, we now recognize our very own extensions.
We're recognizing the body, that we are not just plain flesh. There's something else. It's a great expression that there is bodies, that there is, because people feel the need to, their plain skin does not describe their physical reality anymore. They know it. So they got to show there's something else going on unconsciously by default by lathering and plastering some stuff on their skin.
Well, don't you think it's a kind of retrieval too?
But wait, no, because, Brian, so what, Brian, what was your response?
Well, I was just going to say, you, when you brought up the word flesh, I was actually going to look up flesh and see what kind of definitions come up, because I've actually come to this place where when you hear or speak the word flesh, most people think, you know, it's your muscles or your skin on your body, but I'm beginning to think that there's other definitions to flesh besides just that limited.
Okay, look it up. So what were you going to say, Michael?
Brian, it reminds me of the book, The God Man, The Word Made Flesh, remember? I have it sitting right here, I'm rereading it.
Yeah, but the word is the modern media, the uttering, so they're now made flesh as tattoos and studs.
Yeah.
So what were we going to say, Michael?
It's kind of a bit of retrieval too, Bob, because in the tribal culture, you would mark great events by marking your body. So it's the way a tribal person or a tribal would mark the chip body and the TV body as tattoos and studs is a great analogy, I think.
Yeah, when we were, Ginny and I were doing Mark Hansen first hour last on Tuesday, Hansen says, yes, we've extended our body, but there's something about the body that remains supreme underneath it. And that's what tattooing is. You're grabbing your TV body, your body, and re-sticking it to your flesh and claiming this is where that came from. So So it's actually a Mark Hansen theme there, that they're showing the flesh, the physical, the creator is dominant despite the TV body, the chip body. They bring it back.
I just got his book in the mail. Did you read it?
Who, me? No, I didn't read it.
Yeah.
I don't read books. I only read the great books, the guys that point up to us, not these fragmented makeup crap shit.
Mark Hansen. So you think
what?
Mark Hansen is making it up?
No, Mark Hansen is important. You want to know what to read, you ask me. I have a natural ability to find this stuff. It just comes to me. I don't try, but I find the greats. I mean, look, back in the 60s, everybody on my chart, back in the 60s, I started to promote them, but those people were considered worse than Charlie Manson. Yet now, they're all the important people. McLuhan, they tried to fucking take his degree away. You can't take tenure away from a professor, but they tried to do it at the university. These were the real criminals, and these criminals turned out to be right. So I knew what criminals to hang out. So I got a pretty good instinct for it. Okay, so look at this. This Starthopper responds and says, "Yeah, thanks for the response." So good. He or she doesn't want any more response. We've discussed the powerful, the authority, blah blah blah. Okay, we're getting some messages. People are getting worked up over this topic. Cider Somerset says. Bridgewater, England, says many pre-Gutenberg cultures tattooed their bodies. The Celts, the Picts, the Maori, etc. They are coming into their power. No, they're not. This is where you start to romanticize the pre-literate cultures. You're missing the point. The humans are getting an identity crisis, and they're retrieving the primitive cultures as if that's significant to express what's going on. No, what's going on is newer, way beyond any retrieved culture. So that's an old McLuhan thing. I've done that for years. Anybody else want to say something about it?
I want to comment on that. Well, that's a good point. What we were just laying out was the tattoos came from them recognizing the TV body, right? The TV tattoos the mind.
And then trying to claim it came from their body by sticking it back into them.
Okay, but to his point, to the guy's point, okay, the preacher or whatever, the people way back long before TV were tattooing themselves. Okay, so what was their purpose of tattooing?
I think they were lived in non-visual, pre-visual cultures, acoustic space. It was natural to be aware of no dimensions or multi-dimensions. They did not contain things. As McLuhan said at the beginning of the show, there was no unconscious back then. So they were showing their responses, their sensitivity, their tactile sensitivity.
I know what it was, Bob. It just came to me. It was the effects preceding the cause. That's what it was.
Yeah, you could say that. You could say that. But there's a newness. And this is what McLuhan was saying. It's interesting that this topic brings up McLuhan's ideas. And I played McLuhan, and it's very important what McLuhan said, that Phineas Wake is a boat. We're going back into the tribal cycle, but we're awake this time. And the awake opens up the possibilities beyond dualism or the digital. Wait, this is what Ion came for. Ion comes forth for the first time. So Phineas Wake predicted Ion, going back to the tribal preliterate sensibility, but not in the way of being hypnotized by it, the way those tribes were when they were preliterate by naturalness. We're not doing that. But the market can sell that. That's cultural tourism. That's the whole market is based on replaying old scenarios with some kind of temporary charisma, because nobody can deal with the present. McLuhan says it in that quote being a show. Everybody's terrified of the actual present. They're terrified of Ion. Look at this Jeff Renz, man. That guy, he fucking interviews us every 6 months, and he doesn't take the drops. He's terrified.
He doesn't take the drops?
No.
Who doesn't
He's terrified.
Who doesn't
what?
Take the drop? I didn't
no.
get that. Who
Jeff Renz. Jeff Renz.
He doesn't?
No. We're just another commercial.
No way.
Okay, good. Now we're getting to, see, now we're getting to a good point here. Whatever I was trying to say, that's what I, your response indicates I was on to something. What was I saying? That, oh, that McLuhan said that people are, you know what I was saying. That people were, McLuhan said at the beginning of the show, an amazing quote there, talking to Edwin Newman, that people are terrified of the present. And I say, Jeff Rand is terrified of the president, and you're going, no, you don't, you're realizing he is terrified of the president because he doesn't take the drops. He doesn't believe us.
Yeah, you know, when you bring that up, I always think of what they're terrified of. You say they're terrified of the present, but in the present, or what specifically they're terrified of in the present, is the leading edge of creation.
And their role of ideas of creation fall away. They lose their identity. They lose the present role they have. He cannot. Well, if he wants to keep running a show, he has to ignore what's going on here. Because what we're doing is way beyond his stupid show.
Well, that's a good point, too. Because that's what will happen when you get into, you know, the thing called the leading edge of creation, is that what will happen many times is that it will shatter your paradigms or
your security, your sense of security, your sense of importance.
That's right. And when that happens, that is terrifying to people.
Yeah.
But it gets better when it happens.
Well, if you're taking the drops.
Well, yeah, if they can get to that point.
Yeah. You got to take the drops. You guys would be all running around scared shitless listening to Alex Jones every night if you didn't have the drops.
Well, I don't know about that.
You know,
I'd be sleeping more.
yeah. And you wouldn't be thinking about going into the Olympics.
Hey, don't be knocking sleeping. I like sleeping.
Yeah, but how do you know how long you've been sleeping? All right, when I wake up, I say, well, that was a great sleep. The clock's trying to tell me I was asleep for 15 minutes, but I know I was asleep for 3 years.
Yeah.
Feels just good.
Even 1 minute naps are great.
Yeah. Any unconsciousness, did it get away from the present? I'm all for it. It's a terrifying present. Get me out of here. Kill me. Make me go unconscious. There's that great, that's what Beefheart was singing a couple weeks ago when we were playing Beefheart. Make me go to blah, blah, blah. Make me put the Kalugna. Remember that, Michael? This narrative poem is great. Yeah, that's what he's doing. Make me go to East Ham. Get around and put the load on me. We got to play that quickly. That makes total sense now. He's talking, remember? Because it ends up, he's describing, Sam was a basket case. I gotta play that. It makes so much meaning right now. Okay, so let me finish the Norway, because I think we're gonna, if we keep going, we can go another hour. We're just now getting excited, or I'm getting excited with the new insights of the same old crap. But it sounds like we're on a nice tear here. All right, so anything more you want to say about this tattoos and the terrible present? I don't even mind if Jeff Renz hears me, you know, saying what a stupid show. I don't care if I ever go on there again. I don't think much happens on there. Or if whatever happens, it's all in Ion's hands. You know, I can sabotage the thing as much as possible. Ion's going to determine who responds on that commercial, info commercial.
Boy, I thought
I thought
for sure he was on the drops.
Now, why would you say, okay, now let's go into this. Why would you think that? How did he indicate that he would?
Well, he's endorsing them, isn't he?
No. He will not endorse anything. That's
then
part
why
of his intake.
We paid
to get on there, Lynn.
That's right, because Matthew or somebody advertises on his show, so he puts you on the show.
He gives you. Like, once a month, you're allowed to come on and, you know, get to hog an hour, and it was paid for by Matthew buying ad space on there.
Oh. Well, if you look at his website, it seems like he's got a lot of fear, though, too.
Fear? Oh, he's afraid of everything. He's a quieter Alex Jones kind of show.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Okay. So, I mean, he won't tell where he lives. You know, he's paranoid on
I
that.
I know.
Level.
I asked him.
Yeah, you go on the web. Go on the web and read what his former six wives say about him. My God.
Former six? Only six?
Yeah, it's only six. Now, I talked to him about this confidentially, and he stated what they were. He made a big case about how the forces of B are trying to smear him, and he gave us details and... you know, on the surface, I believed them that, yes, those people are a bit nutty, the way they're expressing themselves. But he's got a serious... you guys think JW's got a bad reputation. Man, Jeff, he's got six to eight wives on there saying he's a wife-beater, murderer, everything.
Well, how does he... Oh, my God. Well, how does he get
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You're a great barometer of the average... naivety.
How does he get people to listen to his stuff and all that?
Well, okay. The other part is you pay people to say that about you because then you become controversial. Remember, bad publicity is just as good as regular publicity. I just thought of it. They probably paid those people to say that so people think he has a dark shadow and they'll listen to him. That attracts listeners.
There's the media again, right?
Well, what's that mean to say there's the media? But what's the media?
I mean, like, what's going on supposedly with JW, you know?
Yeah, no. When you go to the phrase, there's the media, that people have been saying that for 30 years. That's proof that media have taken on a life of their own, that they're the Android meme, that they're the extensions of themselves and nothing to do with humans. It's the way people talk about the media for about 30 years. Well, the media
but
did
we
it.
We are the media, aren't we? Humans are the media. We've created it, right?
And that's what McLuhan's title is, Understanding Media. The subtitle is The Extensions of Man. That was radical 50 years ago to say media were extensions of us, but it was totally ionic to say it.
Oh, it's so ionic.
Totally. Completely.
So does Jeff Rantz actually look like his what he's got on the picture of his webpage?
I don't know.
Because I'm thinking if he doesn't want no one to know where he lives, and he looks like that, he can't get out that much.
That's right. And he looks... yeah, it's a drawing. It's like he doesn't show a photo.
So maybe it isn't him.
What?
Maybe it isn't him. Maybe it's just a... Maybe he's Fred Flintstone.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting how Cider Somerset... He's been listening to us for years. He certainly doesn't listen to me. You wouldn't say people are coming to their power by putting on ancient preliterate situation. Preliterate situation was biased in its own limitation as much as the literate was. The post-literate is biased. It's this new level that ions bring in that gets rid of any, even talking about any previous culture. You know what? You know Lester Levine, whoever your hero is.
He's not my hero. It's just Lester Levinson. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I got it. Lester Levinson. He goes on. Someone quoted him on Dupes. You know. Oh, you guys don't have an unconscious. Well, listen to how McLuhan. He doesn't just say we have no unconscious. He explains why people did think they have an unconscious, and then why they don't have one now. Way beyond what Lester Levinson says.
Mm-hmm.
McLuhan's including the causes as well as the effects. Now, that's just the mind looking for a reason, but since you spend half your time running around looking for reasons, go for the good guys, for the most comprehensive ones who do the delusionary giving of a reason.
Right, and also Lester said that every thought becomes a thing, too. So if you don't remember...
Well, what McLuhan said, that's normal preliterate awareness. And so what Lester didn't know is that he was retrieving preliterate awareness in a post-literate society. He didn't know the satellite and TV and Matrix was making him do that. He was becoming aware by default. McLuhan helps you become aware not by default. And he says that. You guys go, I order you to listen to that fucking five-minute thing 50 fucking times this week before I come back on next Tuesday.
What 5 minutes? When did you play the five-minute thing?
It's played right after the music.
Tonight?
Who said that? Is that Brian said that? Who said that? That's like Brian laughed. Brian said that. Who laughed?
I laughed.
Michael
it
laughed.
Came on straight, Yeah, it came straight on as the program started.
Yeah, I said a few words at the end of the music, and then I played it. But you What?
I didn't hear it.
Yeah, I mean, nobody heard it. The point is, I'm saying listen to it five times over and over and get the subtleties of what he's saying. You won't understand it fully the first time, but do it over and over.
Was he only speaking of the unconscious? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, the subconscious, the unconscious, he changes the words. He says post-litter people and pre-litter people do not have an unconscious or a subconscious. Don't get bogged down on what he says. Or private conscious. He calls it private. He has three fucking different words. Private conscious is another thing.
What about consciousness? Does he talk about people having...
There's a collective conscious. There's a collective conscious, and then his very last sentence in the book, Take Today, gets into the complex statement about consciousness. I could maybe read it in the next hour for you. But here's the point. He's using a book that is totally incomprehensible. That's a ridiculous book for the 99% of the humanity. And he's using that to explain what he's explaining. So you got to realize what he's using. You know, it's like me, we play some Ion, we play it backwards, and you get this Ionic gibberish. And then I spend 15 minutes explaining what the gibberish was about. And you can't even figure out what the gibberish was because it's not in English. This is what McLuhan's doing. You guys got to realize the depth of this irony, of the satire, of the perception, of the prophecy, and why why Ion called himself Moi on his first Rogue broadcast. M-O-I, McLuhan on Ion. That's what Moi, me, means. French, Moi.
Okay, so if McLuhan lays it out and explains it, then therefore this whole thing of having a cipher to decipher it is false.
What's the cipher that's deciphering?
The Playfair cipher for Finnegan's Wake.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, the Playfair cipher is a level that Joyce doesn't even know about. See, that's why Ion is the next technology, new environment. He goes beyond what McLuhan's doing.
I'm not talking about Joyce. I'm talking about McLuhan.
Well, McLuhan doesn't know about the Playfair cipher.
I know, but what you're saying was, unless you're talking about a different book, but if you're talking about Finnegan's Wake,
yeah, there's a Playfair cipher in Finnegan's Wake. Yep, there is, but it's non-physical. Put it in there. Joyce doesn't even know about it. See, we're in the third phase with Ion, Coach Ion, describing all of culture. You know, he describes what goes on in the Vatican Sistine Chapel to us on rewrite.
My point is you're talking about McLuhan laying out or getting all of these concepts from Finnegan's Wake, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so you got the McLuhan version of Finnegan's Wake, whatever that is. Now, I'm asking you, even though I don't know of it, but if we have the Playfair cipher from Ion, how far apart or how close together would they be based on what McLuhan says Finnegan's Wake called out?
They're close, but they're not. The point is that you can't understand what Ion's saying unless you've got all the human cultural knowledge going through your head too, and how that turned out, because your mind is engaged in that. That's your mind's thoughts, your assumptions, the memes. You got to clear them out, and you do it by looking at these holy offices, I call them, because they do the best clearing out. You understand the Bible, Ion's. Explanation of the 22 chapters. Then you do chapter 23 to hear the angels' version. But then you look at my chart to figure out what we see in the angels and the revelation. So it's using ourselves to look at them and using ourselves to look at ourselves. Using them to look at them and using them to look at us. You get that? Use them to look at them and use them to look at us. Use my
and
stuff.
And the we is us human creators.
Yeah.
Referring to your chart.
But our images of our we-ness, of our humanness, are so silly. I'm a God. The person's going, I'm a God, or even the word God, they have no clue what they're talking about, what it means, what's involved in it, what imagery it contains.
I agree with that.
So what is the imagery then? What is it?
Well, you begin with understanding Finney's Wake. That's a perfect expression of the history of humanity.
I did buy that book with another book to help me to explain what the book means. So I
which book did you buy? What's the other book?
I ordered it. Oh God!
You should have got a check with me. Didn't do it right. You get Eric McLuhan's The Roll of Thunder and Finney's Wake. That's the one you get for an explanation.
I got them right here now. A Reader's Guide to Finnegan's Wake by William York Tyndall.
Yeah, that's nothing. Throw that away. Send it back. Get the Eric McLuhan book.
Okay.
That was written 60 years ago by, it's so old. All you do is you get Finney's Wake, and then you get the annotations of Finnegan's Wake by Roland McHugh, where he tells you what the critics, how the top three critics, top three interpretations of each line and each word laid all out for you. But that's only the content. You've got to understand the formal dynamics of it, and you do that by reading Eric's book. So just two books, Annotations and The Roll of Thunder. Give that Tyndall book to your kid.
Okay.
It's simple enough.
Going back to the imagery of God.
Okay, I'm going to play, let me just see this. I'm 137.42. It goes to 8 minutes. I got to do this right now. I'm going to finish up Ion. Okay?
Yep.
Okay, hopefully this. Hey, Bill, if it goes over for a minute, let me have it. Okay, we put this mute.
All participants are now muted.
Okay, here we go.
Focus on what they noticed was odd. In their terms, it would just be a figure for the non-physical resonance. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. You haven't changed a whole lot in real life, but inside you've changed.
Right.
Hugely.
Yeah, I think some of my friends are
The resonance of that then would draw different people or the same people that want to be more and more and more in your environs.
Yeah, people are sensitive. They notice we've changed. Like, whatever they thought, but we weren't noticed before, then we're noticed. That means, and they knew we'd been coming, so that means we've changed, because now they notice us.
Good.
Something like that.
Very good.
But there's nothing particular. It's not the fact that there's no idiosyncratic behavior they're noticing.
Right.
It's just generally they notice us, but before they didn't notice us, which is the way they work. Remember they would hardly say hi? Now he says hi as soon as I get there. It's a burden to me. I like to just go around and not be noticed, because then I don't have to come up with this cover story, because we can't let them know who I really am, Ion.
Well, okay.
What did you say, Carol?
Good luck with that.
Yeah. Okay, so what was great is Kamala told me his name means protection, and we noticed him a little bit a few weeks before, because he had to run across the beach to save somebody caught in the tide. So we kind of noticed him at the same time, right, Carol?
That's true.
We had not seen them rescue anybody before. We didn't know they did it. And then he told me his name means, Hawaiian Kamalo means protection. So we said, well, great, you're here to protect us. All right, Ian, so did you finish that topic, Carol? So this spiral is incredible. It's the first time the effect of people portaling has been seen. Right, Ion? That's pretty incredible. Can we explain this on cash flow, or are we not allowed to publish it? No one will believe it, but it's thinly veiled, but what's interesting. So what?
Sorry, I think I clicked. What am I doing?
Experiencing.
Well, a blissful state of freedom.
But
portaling has been seen. Right, Ion? That's pretty incredible. Can we explain this on cash flow, or are we not allowed to publish it? No one will believe it, but it's yes, it's thinly veiled, but what's interesting? So what do these people that portal? What do they experience when they go to another world? Do they travel around like us in our dreams or quote dreams when we're sleeping? Go shopping in Bombay or something? Mm-hmm. Like what are they? What are they experiencing?
Well, a blissful state of freedom.
Yeah, and they're floating about. But they're walking in the other worlds, right? I'm feeling like they're walking.
Okay, yeah.
Or are they floating?
They can please themselves.
They can please themselves, yeah.
JW, please.
Yeah, JW, can we? Do you want to get another topic? I don't know why you're fading out.
Yeah, okay.
You don't want to talk about that topic anymore?
Oh, we don't care.
Well, okay, but beef up your energy. We're asking about what they're explaining. I know what they're explaining. What they're experiencing over there. So I can be explained to. Okay. Oh, that woke you up. Yeah, yee-hoo.
You need some water?
Ion?
Yeah, so we've been sipping along.
Hey, I had a Snicker bar today. I hope you have no craving. I hope you enjoyed the Snicker bar I had today.
It was great.
Yeah, it was great. So, can you fill us in a little bit about what they're experiencing? What scenarios are they walking through as they float in the freedom world they're in?
Hmm.
Or is that hard?
Develop it a little bit more, because you...
Well, when you describe our trips at night, we go shopping in Bombay, we go to Pakistan, we go to South America, and Carolyn gets her in a knot about purchasing something, and I'm arguing over the price, you know, these different little anecdotes happen. How could we anecdotalize what some of them are experiencing as they have left here and gone somewhere else? What are they doing?
Well, they have specific journeys that they have desirous to engage. Sometimes it's to figure out what to do back here.
Right.
Sometimes it's to see how a climactic experience will play out.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you see, it's just within, without it flows.
And they've been doing this for a while. It's not their first time doing it.
Sure. I mean, you could do the same thing. How do people feel when they live in Michigan and they go to Florida for the winter?
Right, right. So do they go to worlds that are exact replicas of our world?
No.
You can go to other worlds.
That's the point. If you wouldn't go on vacation to Maui, Bob. Because you're already in.
Yeah, but we go to Bombay, which is something we experience in this world, and we go to Bombay in our travelings at night.
Sure.
But they are purposely going to different worlds, not really. Doubles of our world.
Perfect.
Or maybe when we go to Bombay, we're not. Are we going to the parallel world Bombay, Carolyn, or are we going to the Bombay on this planet when we go
parallel
to Bombay?
Parallel world Bombay.
Right.
And both.
We go to both. But they can go to... Why don't we go... Hey, Karen, why don't you arrange with JW to go to other different worlds?
Huh?
Why don't you arrange with JW when you sleep to go to a different world, not Bombay, Pakistan, and the...
We have to get used to that and remember that first.
Well, you're arguing for your limitations.
Well, you did, and you haven't... Why are you wanting to do it when you were the little figurine sitting on the mantle through the keyhole, Bob?
Oh, yeah, well, we know, sitting on the mantle. There's a pun on mantle. I didn't know. I was sitting on the mantle rather than receiving the mantle. But I don't know what that's happened, but I've been...
That was your description of what you were doing, and that was not anything to do with this world.
Okay, yeah.
And now you're coming back to say, why can't we do it? Well, you did.
Oh, I see, we did, right. Okay, just, we can...
We were just asking, because it's kind of like...
Okay, no, that's good. I did it. I did it once, but you guys have had every night in familiar places to me that we're going to. So I'm saying, let's go to different places. Okay, I went to a mantle. I think there's some other places we could, I don't know, other worlds. So these people, are they all ages, the 28 that did this? Or they have no time? I mean, they're...
No, they're all two, Bob. They're all two.
No, well, what do they look like? You know, what do they look
like? They look like humans. They have eyes and heads.
But what ages do they look like?
They look aged. dangerous, Bob.
No, no, they don't. Well, maybe they do. So you're saying that? Are you saying these are like Saint Germain people that are floating about that are really ascended and quite removed from your local Rotarians and Kiwanis people and local Freemasons?
But yeah, it could fit right into your neighborhood, and you would just think they were cool.
Right, right. And are they some that were born in other worlds? You know how one third of the world population. Yeah. So these are. They're like those guys who were overseeing CERN. They come from other worlds. Now, we were talking about this today, Carol and I. The parallel, the people in the parallel world, we're a parallel world for them, and they're a parallel world for us, and some of them can travel, but there are many people in the parallel world who are as oblivious as the ones around us here about the parallel world reality, correct?
Well, of course, yes.
Yeah, it's the same. It's the same ratio.
Well, same difference, yes.
Yeah, so Ion is implying that one-third, in previous statements, of the world is parallel world occupants. They weren't born here. Is it a different percentage, like maybe one-quarter of the world's population, or you agree with the one-third are people?
We'll stay with the third.
Okay, good. We're not going to have a break. We'll just carry on. So let's just bring everybody in. Mute, unmute all.
All participants are now unmuted.
What the heck is that? I got to get something.
Cattle.
Yeah, we gotta get